Answer me this. Are you a morning person? Maybe an afternoon person? Perhaps you're a night owl? Perhaps you feel like you never really get moving? Well, regardless of how you would classify yourself, you deserve to have a morning routine that serves you, that sets you up for success. Now, before you start rolling your eyes and go, oh, I've heard all about the morning routine stuff and all the things that we're all supposed to do and journal and meditate and yoga, and I just don't have time for that or I don't like it. Guess what? That is not what I'm going to tell you. Instead, I am thrilled to tell you about my annual free event coming up called Master Your Morning. And over the course of 5 days, 30 minutes or less each day, I'm going to teach you how to create your own unique morning routine based on two things, your unique personality type, and secondly, the realities of your home life, right? You may not have a lot of time for a morning routine. And that's what this free workshop is all about. So if you want to come join, head over to megansumrall.com/masteryourmorning. And I promise you, at the end of it, you are going to have a completely different relationship with the morning.
Okay, be honest. Talk to me about your mornings. Do you currently have a morning routine that is all about serving you and setting you up for success for the day? Or do you have a morning task list that is all about serving others? Well, if you want a new, fresh way to look at your morning routine, and more importantly, how to create one designed for your unique personality type, I want you to come join my next free workshop on learning how to master your morning. Head over to thetopmorning.com to get signed up. And at the end of that free workshop, you are going to have a totally new way to start your day that you are going to love. Well, I just finished up the best interview ever with Amy McCready. I'm recording this intro after we just finished it. But guys, she is one of my amazing go-to resources for all things parenting and juggling that along with everything else in life. And I'm really excited to finally have her on the show here today. This has been a long time coming. And as you guys know, I don't bring a guest on unless it's someone I know is going to add a ton of value for all of you. So if you are a parent, this is a must listen to episode. I have pages of takeaways. I want you to really listen to this subtle difference of chores versus contributions. Game changer. So let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome to the Work-Life Harmony Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Sumrall. I'm a former techie turned entrepreneur. I'm also a mom and a wife. And just like you, I'm juggling hashtag all the things while running multiple businesses and a family. Being a successful female entrepreneur doesn't mean you have to feel overwhelmed, exhausted, and stressed out. Gaining control of your time and calendar is all about learning a few key techniques and systems to better organize and structure your time. This is your show to learn from me and other amazing women how to master your time and organization to skyrocket your productivity so you can have work-life harmony.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Work Life Harmony. I am thrilled to bring to you guys, I think, one of my new besties in the planet. Amy is joining us here on the podcast today. She is the founder of Positive Parenting Solutions. I'm going to tell you a quick backstory on how we met because I think the world, it's so big, but it's so very small, right? Sure. And then I'll let Amy tell you a little bit more about her organization, and then we're going to dive into a really great topic today. So last year, I got an email from my second cousin, shout out to McKinley here, introducing me to Amy. And it turns out McKinley works over there at Positive Parenting Solution and connected Amy and I. I did a training for you and your team around some time management strategies. And then come to discover we live like 1 hour apart. I mean, what are the world is so big and yet it is not. So we finally got to meet face to face. I am devouring one of your books right now that I'm absolutely loving. I'll share the links on that in a minute. But before we jump in, why don't you go ahead and give everyone, you know, a little background about what you do, who you serve, because it's incredibly amazing work.
Oh, thanks, Megan. And thank you so much for having me. It's such a privilege to be able to be with you and all of your listeners. I'm Amy McCready. I'm the founder of Positive Parenting Solutions. We serve parents of toddlers to teens all over the world. And I'm the creator of the 7-Step Parenting Success System. So it is an online training program with step-by-step tools and scripts and instructions for basically everything that a parent needs from the toddler years until they're leaving your house.
Oh, and it's been, you know, I'm slowly working my way through it. And you have to, as a parent, you know, be willing to hear the things you know, but you're like, oh, but it's been, what I love is you give such practical, pragmatic, actual tactics to bring to the table, which is great. So what I wanted to talk about today, because, you know, I always have to find some spin here around time management, organization, productivity, all of that, is this idea of priorities, priorities that parents have versus kids have. And I know I am currently in a stage of life where we are really struggling here at home with that, especially on the weekends, that battle of, you know, I have my priorities for the weekend. My spouse has his. My child, I think she has some. I'm having a heck of a time drawing them out of her. But then Saturday morning hits and we're at this clash of how our weekends are going to pan out, particularly with the never-ending battle of technology. So I would love for you, we were talking briefly before this, on kind of painting that picture of the lay of the land of how we get to where I know I am right now of this problem and then what we can do about it.
Yeah. So this is just one of the truth bombs that we talk about in parenting. And there's so many truth bombs that when I say them, you're going to be like, duh, yes, of course I knew that. But when you think about how it plays into your parenting, it's like, oh, okay, now I understand where so many of these power struggles come from. And the truth bomb around what Megan was just discussing is that parent priorities are not the same as kid priorities. Again, duh, we all know that. But think about how that plays out in your day in, day out life. Like, do your kids really care that much if they have clean underwear on? No, that's a parent priority. Do they care if they eat vegetables? That's our priority. If it were up to them, they would be able to stay up until 1 a.m. and they would have access to technology 24/7. There would be no boundaries or limits whatsoever. So their priorities are very different than our priorities. And where we get into a rub is when we are trying to impose our priorities on them, but without the proper tools. And then we get into this big power struggle, and then we start getting the back talk and the disrespect and the attitude.
Were you spying on us this week?
Oh, trust me, it's every family. It is every family. But we as parents get so frustrated about that, but we just haven't sort of addressed that theorem or truth bomb that parent priorities are different than kid priorities. And so it's never going to work if we're just trying to impose through sheer will and might our priorities on them. So again, we can talk about some strategies to bring them into the process, feel like they have some control over their own lives, because that is another one of those truth bombs, is that all human beings, it's just the way that we're wired, whether you are an infant, a toddler, or a senior citizen, we all have a hardwired need for control over our own lives, some agency.
Yeah,
if we don't bring kids into that process, then they don't feel like they have agency. And then again, we're in that power struggle situation.
So 100% yes. And I know for us, we can, you know, I always love when I have guests, I'm like, I'm just going to selfishly get as much as for me as I can, but I know everybody listening can tie it into their own, you know, way as well. So, you know, I think our fundamental challenge when it comes to priorities here at home, again, is they are very different on the weekends, right? And we have an only child, which just kind of makes things a little bit more tricky sometimes with finding things to do. And she's at that weird tween stage as well, where it's like the older toys aren't as fun, yet we aren't onto older things. And so, you know, for my husband and I, the weekends, it's our chance to get our stuff done because we work all week, right? The chores, the this, the that, and then it's a beautiful day. We want to be outside. And yet all I feel from her is like, she's tired. School's tiring. You're up. She's up really early in the morning. In her mind, the weekend is that chance now. I just want to chill and do nothing and be a veg on the couch. And while I can remember back to my childhood days, I'm like, oh yeah, I did like that too. I don't even know how to start the conversation in a way that isn't this, we're not going to sit on the couch all day. You know, we're not going to stare at our screens. You only have X number of minutes left. How would you recommend kind of setting into that expectations around technology? And I don't really know how to dig out from her, what are her priorities as well? Because I think when you're 11, it's hard to put that into context.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can back up for a minute and just like, we're going to talk about technology, but just around any priority that is important to the parent that maybe isn't of great concern to the kid, those priorities are going to be handled so much better if we start with emotional connection. Mm-hmm. So whether it's your weekend or a weekday, one of the things that we always talk about as the most important tool that parents can implement is called mind, body, and soul time. And so mind, body, and soul time is 10 or 15 minutes of time when it's one parent, one child. So it's one-on-one time, no other distractions, no other parents around, no siblings. It's just one parent, one kid, where you are totally present in mind, body, and soul doing what she wants to do. Now, I know you do this a lot because I see from your Instagram posts and things like that. And a lot of it is kind of like date stuff. We're going to do something out of the house.
Or crafts in the house or doing a puzzle together. Exactly. We do a lot of that. Yeah.
But if you can make this, this is for our listeners, if you can make this part of your daily practice, this becomes a non-negotiable part of your daily routine that you put in your planner that Megan teaches you about. You put that in your planner, like it's non-negotiable. And the key thing about mind, body, and soul time is that it's labeled, right? So we call it mommy and G time, or like we label it something. So it's a thing and they kind of, we get credit in the attention and power bucket by doing that. So that's the first thing. You will have action on your priorities much more easily if you always start with that. So the first thing you do on a weekend in the morning is you do that emotional connection time. The second thing is that I think you as the parent need to be very clear on what your priorities are. And again, recognize that they're not the same person that you are, right? But we have some general family values or priorities. So there's maybe something around physical activity or movement. Maybe there's some reading. It's getting family jobs done. We call them family contributions, not chores. There's, you know, doing family contributions.
Oh, I love that. Contributions.
Super important. Yes, because chores are drudgery for littles all the way up to adults, right? But when you call them family contributions, it sends the message that what you do around here makes a difference for our family, for our team. And our team could not function without these important contributions you make. So again, you have a value around family contributions. Maybe it's around reading, like whatever, you know, maybe it's worship, like whatever your family does, you have those certain things that are kind of non-negotiables. All right. So that's the first piece, getting clear about what those things are. Then the next piece is figuring out, like what you said, what her priorities are. So like, what are the things that you like to do on the weekend? Or what are the things that you like to do after school, after you've been there all day long and you're exhausted? What things are important to you? And so we, you know, because we care about that, right? Like we want to make sure that she's feeling emotionally nourished and not overly stressed and all of that. Once you have both of those priorities, then the key thing is to structure your weekday and your weekend routines in what we call a when-then format. So a when-then routine requires that the yucky stuff be done before the more enjoyable parts of the routine. Yeah. So let's say her priority is technology time, like most 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
When then routine becomes when you've completed your family contributions, and I've inspected if that's important in your family, when you've had at least 30 minutes of outside movement time, when you've completed your homework or your reading time or whatever those things are that you have on the weekend, then you can have 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, of technology time. And you can put an end time on it. All right. So it's when XYZ is done, then you can have your 30 minutes of technology time before 4 p.m. Right. So if she dilly-dallies all day and doesn't get it done, you don't want to be at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
You know, starting technology time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you put
because they're saying, but you promised.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you kind of create some boundaries around that. So the beauty of the when then routine And again, I want to be clear, this is not a bribe or a reward. We do not advocate the use of rewards for a whole host of reasons. We could talk about that separately. But this is simply structuring the routine so that the yucky stuff has to get done before the more fun parts of the day. And again, you're honoring her priorities, what's important to her, technology time or whatever that is. And it's done just within the context of that when-then formula. Does that make sense?
It really does. And I can see, you know, I naturally kind of put myself in that, okay, I'm going to get the junk done first that I can enjoy the rest of my day. But again, I'm internalizing all that and not communicating that externally. I could see there's a lot of opportunities for me to say, I'm going to go, here's the contributions I've got to do I don't love. I'm going to knock mine out while you're knocking yours out.
Yes.
So that then we can, you know, come back and do that. I think, you know, for me on the weekends, one of the things I have been working very hard on is not having to work much on the weekends so that the weekends are open space to do whatever. But there is, I think I've swung that pendulum a little too far on the flying by the seat of our pants that is causing this, you know, conflict in the house that I can certainly bring that together a little bit better than we have been doing. Yeah.
I think the other opportunity for a pickle is when like the technology time fluctuates from day to day. Well, last weekend I was allowed to have 3 hours and now you're saying I can't. So the more that we can be clear on how much technology time is allowed, that is helpful. That way it's more black and white. It's not a negotiation every time. Anytime you don't have a clear expectation laid out, whether it's around bedtime or technology time or whatever it is, there is no expectation, and that invites negotiation and badgering and this whole power struggle every single time. And so around technology, you can even have like two when-thens. So there's like a morning when-then routine and an afternoon when-then routine. So she can have two technology blocks. And again, you know, on the weekends, it's okay to give a little bit more technology time. As a parent, you need to make sure that you have the parental controls in place that you're comfortable with where she's going online and what site she's visiting and all of those kinds of things. And Megan, I'm sure you probably talk about that with your audience anyway. But,
you know, I haven't really, I always talk about it just in terms of us and the controls on our phone, but that is, you know, we're new to her being on technology. And I'll tell you, I spent a lot of time online researching how to get all of that set up. And, you know, I always coach everyone about setting limits on your own screen time, turning off notifications, et cetera. It's very easy, everyone listening, to go in and set limits with your child. And most internet providers now have the ability, like we can basically shut down internet access on specific devices at set times of day. So that just in cases, the whoops, the iPad got left in the bedroom, the temptations are just gone. So there's a lot you can set up to really help put those guards in place. So we're still learning over here, but it's a lot to educate yourself on.
It is a lot. And, you know, one of the things that we always talk about is, you know, you can't control another person as much as we'd like to. All that you can do is control yourself and the environment. And what you've just described is controlling the environment. And for some families, especially who have kids who are really super tech savvy, there are some other platforms. There are other platforms beyond what just the internet providers offer. So like a lot of families in our community use Bark, Disney Circle. I think it's called Castito. I'm probably not pronouncing that properly, but do check out those other platforms as well. And then the other thing that, you know, we always talk about is parents always talk about rules, like we have this rule and that rule. We like to call them policies. And it's,
I like that too.
Yeah. It's the analogy of if I go to Home Depot and buy a custom paint and I get home and I don't like it and I take it back to Home Depot and I'd like to return this. And they say, well, I'm sorry, ma'am. Like that's our policy. You can't return, you know, you can't return custom paint. Well, it's the same thing at home. Like, oh, I know you'd like to have more computer time, but that's our policy, right? It's very non-emotional. We don't have to get into a power struggle about it. It's just our policy.
Hey there. If you are feeling overwhelmed, like your calendar is out of control, like you are just running against a race that will never end in terms of your to-do list, I have great news for you.
I have just done a complete update on my app. Yes, I have an app in both the App Store and Google Play called The Pink Bee, and it is chock full of small but incredibly powerful trainings to help you get out of overwhelm. It includes my signature Ditch the Overwhelm training, an introduction to my time management framework. It can help get you started on weekly planning, helps you understand the four levels of planning, gives you access to my epic One Notebook Challenge, and some tips and tricks on how to get your phone organized. And all of that is available for you right inside the Pink Bee app. So open up either your App Store or Google Play, do a search on The Pink Bee, all one word, download the app. And then to unlock all of that training, it's only $4.99 US. I will see you inside the app. So good. And the thing that I have talked about with all the women in my program, but I think it's so important in this conversation we're talking about our kids, is that importance of not context switching all day where we're, you know, I'm working, I'm with my kid, and bringing the technology into that so that when I'm, you know, it's mom time, my phone is not with me. The notifications are off. And believe me, I have to remind myself of this often, because about 2 years ago was when I noticed my daughter was starting to say, well, you get to, and I thought, yeah, she's right. So if it's, you know, for the parents listening, the more you can set, align those windows of this is when I'm stepping away from technology to when you're having that time together, then that's just them seeing, okay, we don't have to be, you know, on our phones. Yeah. And responding to them and interacting all the time. But man, it's tricky. They're designed to be addictive. They are.
They absolutely are. Hard habit. And we can understand why our kids struggle with that.
Yeah.
So again, it's just, it's the balance. It's not the technology is bad. It's just that it has to be in harmony with the other things in their life. And so, you know, the more that, you know, one of the things we go through with our parents is a technology contract that we use. And we bring the kids into this process because, again, kid priorities are not the same as parent priorities. So trying to, you know, understand what's important to the kids in terms of technology use, putting those policies in place. And again, I always say this, we should never give out technology time willy-nilly, right? Technology is always, always, always part of a when-then routine. So when you've completed your homework and your family contributions and you've had your 30 minutes of outside time, whatever, then you can enjoy your hour of technology time until 3 o'clock or whatever the end time is. But we just don't give technology willy-nilly. We always leverage it for the good of the family, the good of, you know, her individual health and well-being and development.
Yeah. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this. So sorry.
I'm game for anything. You know that.
One of my biggest struggles with all of it is the fact that now school is 90% technology. Like there's no books in the classrooms, everything is online. And so then it's this struggle of, okay, well, I've done my homework, meaning I've just stared at that stinking computer for 20 minutes. And now it's tech time. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, you were just, or, you know, the projects that they're working on. And even my daughter, she's very into the graphic design. Well, that's all done on electronics. So it's this struggle of, well, does that count as technology time when it's educational and learning and creative versus not? Where do you see us? Like, what are your concerns with the world as we know it, with all of this happening?
Well, I'm very concerned about so much of our learning being technology-based. I mean, you know, again, the studies will, I guess, eventually tell us whether that has been positive or not. But, you know, just as a mom, and I think everybody is kind of concerned about that. Again, it gets back to what we can control. We can't control what happens in the classroom unless you want to move your child into a different learning environment. But we can control what happens at home. And so you don't want to get into the role of policing. Okay, you can have this 30 minutes of graphic design time and you can have this 30 minutes for Instagram.
That's exactly
scrolling.
What I feel like.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think what you do is lump technology time into a total amount of time. And, you know, and maybe it's going a little bit out of our comfort zone and maybe giving a little bit more time than you might have otherwise. But if you have it as part of a when-then routine, then we're creating some balance. Because yes, she's had this time doing graphic design in front of a screen and she's been at school all day in front of a screen. But Because we have a when-then routine, she's also had 30 minutes of outside time. She's also been reading a real book. She's also done family contributions, which is really important for her sense of belonging and significance within the family. So we use our when-then routine to sort of counteract and provide some balance to all of the screen-based activities. You know, another tool, do we have time for another quick tool for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Another tool that I really like, especially for, I mean, you can really use this kit, this tool for kids 8 and up, but certainly for the tween teens, it's called Convince Me. And the tool is basically, you know, like, I know if you had your way, you'd have unlimited access on technology. If, as your mom, my preference would be no technology, but obviously we have to find, you know, somewhere to meet that we both feel good about. So the Convince Me tool is you say to your child, these are my concerns about this topic. And it can be around technology. It can be about driving. It could be about, you know, going to the next town over for a concert with her friends, like whatever the thing is. These are the things that as your mom, I'm concerned about. So take a little bit of time, think on that, and then come back to me with a plan that you think makes sense. And so what that requires her to do is to have empathy for your concerns, but then really use her problem-solving skills and come up with a plan that addresses your concerns. Because you're not going to agree to this unless it addresses your concerns, right?
Right.
So she's going to have to come up with something that allows her to achieve her objectives while still recognizing your concerns. And then part of that is kind of a backup plan. Like if anything goes wrong, like going to a concert in the next town, if anything would go wrong, what is the emergency plan for that? So she takes some time to think about it. You don't give me the plan like on this, you know, in the moment. She thinks about it, comes back to you, presents the plan, and then she convinces you or not. And if you recognize that she's put thought into it, she has a backup plan, you can say, okay, you know, you've convinced me. Let's give this a roll and then we'll see what happens. If it goes well, then great. She has earned some goodwill and you're recognizing her growing maturity and problem-solving skills. But if not, well, then that gives us an opportunity to go back and say, okay, this didn't go well. Where do we need to regroup? And around technology, you decide what those boundaries are going to be. Maybe she convinces you with her plan, but then what happens if you can't stick to that plan? What if the technology time is over and you don't turn off the device? What if we get into a power struggle? Then what are we going to do? Well, then perhaps the logical consequence is that she loses her technology time for a period. So, but having those conversations up front really empower her. She feels like she's part of the process.
Yeah.
And it really fosters her planning and her problem solving and negotiating skills and all of those things that we're trying to work on.
Funny you're talking about that. And I can remember my dad was always so good at that. If I would ask for something and the answer was no, sometimes I'd come back and say, you know, and he'd say, well, I will hear you out. And he would sit and I would present my case to the fullest. And sometimes the answer was still no, and here's why not. But other times, every now and then, oh my gosh, I did a good enough job presenting my case. But it was just the fact of being him sitting and letting me say all the things and him giving me his undivided attention and really hearing what I was saying. Half the time, I just remember feeling, even if I didn't get what I wanted, I felt heard. And
absolutely,
that was really important. And I know I'm not always in this rush, 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 go, go, go mentality, great at pausing. But I love if you can say, come back to me,
yes,
not in an interrupted place, but when you're ready, and then we'll sit down and have that conversation. I think that's
absolutely. And it's also an opportunity for you to go back to the child and say, you know what? I hear what you're saying and I understand why that's important to you. Let me think on it for a minute so I can put my thoughts and concerns together. So you take the time too to like really think through. You're not responding from your gut emotional reaction. You're thinking through the concerns, bringing that back to her. And so you can see how this is just a very respectful, collaborative process that the child may not get what she wants, as you said, but they feel heard, they feel empowered by the whole process.
It will definitely prevent me from doing what I'm really good at, which is throwing out the most ridiculous consequence in the heat of the moment. And then as soon as I've said it, I'm like, oh no, did I just say that? But I mean, we get emotional. We're like, that's it. You're never looking at a screen for the next 4 weeks. And then, I mean, it's just like, Megan, I was ridiculously unreasonable.
This is the second time I'm going to use the word willy-nilly in this conversation, which makes me sound like 100 years old. But
it's so again, true. You do stupid stuff in that.
Yeah. And we call those willy-nilly consequences where we're just pulling stuff out of the air. It doesn't work. I know you have a link for this for your listeners. We actually have a free class that teaches parents the step-by-step formula for consequences that totally work, but leave your kids feeling empowered. So we can leave the listeners.
Yeah, I will put that link in the show notes and you guys take it. Don't wait as long as I did to do that. So good. Oh, Amy, I got so much out of this. And it's even though I've been reading, for those of you who are looking at the video, this book, The Me Epidemic, A Step-by-Step Guide to Raising Capable, Grateful Kids in an Over-Entitled World. It's one I'm reading I normally read very quickly. And I'm reading this very slowly because there's just so much to put the book down and pause and reflect on. I cannot recommend this book enough. I'll put a link to that and your other book as well in the show notes, guys. They're incredible. And it's ones I feel like I need to come back and revisit, like even just that subtle shift of contribution, not chore. I know I've heard that from you before, but it didn't resonate with me until today. So it's like, until we're in the space to hear what we need to hear sometimes. So I could just sit here and pick your brain for hours, but I know our time is up. Other than the links that we're going to be sharing in the show notes, where is the best place for people to come get engaged, follow you, absorb all that is the amazingness of Positive Parenting Solutions?
You're so sweet for asking. So I think the best place and really the best learning opportunity is that free class. It's called Get Kids to Listen Without Nagging, Yelling, or Losing Control. I'm a recovering yeller.
Sounds like it can't happen, right?
I'm a recovering yeller. So like I have just like a heart for parents who sometimes lose their cool. So anyway, that class is all about teaching how to use consequences respectfully and effectively. And you can sign up for that anytime. That's the best way. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram, Positive Parenting Solutions on Instagram and Facebook. Come to our website. Lots of free resources there as well.
Yeah. And I would say for those of you thinking like, do I want to do this? I know for me, it was like this hesitation of, I don't want to go invest in any of this because I'm just going to feel like I'm a crappy mom, right? But what I love about everything that I've been absorbing from your whole community is just this, oh my God, me too. We're all doing this and no judgment, no judgment at all, which I find so refreshing because I know some of the other parenting resources I've reached out to, I end up just feeling horrible by the end of it. Like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst parent ever. Like even to have you be like recovering yeller, I'm like, great. I'm striving to become a recovering yeller. So help me out because I'm on that journey too. So for anyone listening, just know it really is a come as you are. No one's going to be judging you or, you know, secretly thinking anything about it. So
yeah, it's just like your community, like our community of parents are just so supportive and we're just all about helping each other do better, right? With the best tools. If you don't have tools to work with, then you default to yelling, right?
I do.
I mean, most people do. They may for a while, like, okay. And then they blow. So we just need better tools.
Well, thank you for everything that you do for all of us parents out there. We so appreciate it.
Thank you. And everybody do boot camp if you haven't done it yet.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Megan.
Getting on top of all things time management, organization, and productivity doesn't have to stop just because this episode is over. If you want one-tap access to all of my training and current top podcasts, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Pink Bee app. It's one word, the Pink Bee. It is jam-packed with simple yet powerful tips and strategies to get you out of overwhelm and into harmony. And if you have a question you want me to cover on a future episode, go to iTunes and ask your question in the podcast review section. And while you're there, don't forget to leave a 5-star review.